T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle is producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. And I hope you were not planning to watch Sha'Carri Richardson run the 100 meters in the Tokyo Olympics, because it was announced this morning that she will not be running the 100 meters representing the United States of America via Dallas, Texas at the Tokyo Olympics because she has tested positive for a banned substance. It is not a performance-enhancing drug. It's not heroin or coke or anything like that. It is marijuana. She smoked weed, and now she can't run in the Olympics. If it sounds stupid, that's because it is. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, turn our attention to college basketball. Some interesting news. Unsurprising, but still interesting news from the last hour. Musa Cisse, former five-star prospect from Lausanne Collegiate School, who enrolled and played one season at the University of Memphis, has announced that he is withdrawing from the NBA draft and now exploring his options to play college basketball next season. He has been in the transfer portal for a while. Smart decision to withdraw from the draft because he was not going to get picked. And I don't think he's anything close to ready to being a professional next season. So whatever he needed to hear, he heard it, seems to have listened. Spend a few minutes on that in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories at 4:44, at which point we'll discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories, among them awesome night last night for DeSoto Central High graduate Austin Riley, homered off of Jacob DeGrom in the first, which launched the Braves to a 3-run first inning.
Was it awesome?
It was awesome for Austin Riley.
Gotcha.
It wasn't awesome for me, although cool. I was happy for Austin Riley. Didn't I never like seeing Jacob DeGrom give up 3 in the first. First, you almost never see it. But secondly, it puts an offensively challenged New York Mets baseball team in a hole. They did tie it in the ninth, but then in the bottom of the ninth, Freddie Freeman hit one off Seth Lugo's leg, and that ended the game. So 4-3 win for the Atlanta Braves. And afterward, Jacob DeGrom tipped his hat to Austin Riley. I'll tell you what he said around 4:44. MLB starters were announced last night for the All-Star Game. Fernando Tatis Jr. and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., two sons of former Major League Baseball stars, led the NL and AL in votes. Atlanta's Freddie Freeman starting at first, but he shouldn't be. I'll tell you who got snubbed a little later on this hour. The final numbers were tallied last night, and MLB's crackdown on sticky substances, it made an impact in the month of June. Spin rates were down. Batting averages were up. Surprise, surprise. I'll share the details with you just before 5 o'clock. And Dodgers star Trevor Bauer has been placed on paid administrative leave amid assault allegations. Complicated and troubling story out in California. We'll spend a few minutes on that during Four Notable Stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. I got bad news, Big Boy.
I was about to say, what is happening?
I got bad news.
Do we have Olympic swimming tonight?
Stanley Cup Final, Game 3.
Oh, come on.
Tampa Bay Lightning, Montreal Canadiens on NBC, which means we do not get a Friday night Dateline.
That is incredibly disappointing and, frankly, disrespectful of the NHL. I mean, I'll just be honest. Let's be honest here. This isn't the most exciting Stanley Cup Finals. I really think you got to reconsider that.
Tell me if I sound like a man who had to prepare to host Time to Shine later today. The Montreal Canadiens are in a 2-0 hole after losing both games in Tampa Bay by a combined score of 8-2. So now Montreal is back home, where they've won 5 of their past 6 games in this postseason, but still a slight underdog tonight. And even if they win tonight, Tampa Bay's just better. Tampa Bay was better in the regular season. Tampa Bay has been better in this postseason. Tampa Bay has been better in this series. And barring a surprise, regardless of what happens tonight, Tampa Bay Lightning are going to be back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
Spoken like a true national sports personality.
I knew none of that 2 hours ago.
It sounded great.
But when you get a rundown and you're told you're going to have to talk on national television about it, you get you some bullet points ready. So no Dateline tonight. Instead, you can watch hockey. Boo.
Boo.
Boo. That's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. But I did want to start with what is the biggest sports story of the day, and that's that United States sprinter, Sha'Carri Richardson, the reigning United States 100-meter champion, has tested positive for a banned substance and will not compete in the 100 meters at the Tokyo Olympics. Now, this isn't a massive story necessarily because somebody most people have never heard of who was supposed to run in a race now won't run in a race in a few weeks. It's a big story because the banned substance isn't a steroid or a performance-enhancing drug of any kind. It's not coke, it's not heroin. It's a big story because one of our greatest track athletes has been banned from running the 100 meters at the Tokyo Olympics because she tested positive for marijuana. Sha'Carri Richardson is a 21-year-old sprinter who's about to miss out on the chance to run the 100 meters in Tokyo to possibly win a gold medal in Tokyo because she smoked weed. She was on the Today Show this morning, and as she tells the story, her biological mother died just before last month's Olympic trials. Understandably, she was upset. And as you know, different people cope in different ways, and as she explained it, she coped by smoking weed, which is, whether you like it or not, a very normal way that people deal with anxiety in the year 2021. Do you have any idea how many parents are out there raising young children with the help of a vape pen and THC cartridges?
Yeah.
When you see mommy go into the walk-in closet, she might be looking for her vape pen connected to a THC cartridge. Mm-hmm. The number of people who use is probably higher than you think. So that's one of the reasons that people are genuinely outraged that this young woman is missing out on an opportunity because of weed. And beyond that, it is a fact that cannabis is now totally legal in 18 states in this country, including Oregon, which is where Sha'Carri Richardson tested positive. Using cannabis is such a normalized thing now that I don't know if people realize this. The NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, they no longer suspend players for it. But for reasons that aren't completely clear, the World Anti-Doping Agency still lists marijuana, THC, as a banned substance. So when Sha'Carri Richardson tested positive for cannabis, she was suspended for a month, effective June 28th, and the 10.86 100 meters that she ran at the Olympic trials, it was wiped from the books. So she will not be allowed to run the 100 meters at the Olympics, though she will be reinstated in time from her suspension to run in the 400-meter relay in Tokyo if she's added to the team. And there is some thought that the United States will add her to that team. What's wild, or another aspect of the story that's wild, is that if the United States didn't rely strictly on the Olympic trials to determine who represents our country in the 100 meters, she could still run the 100 meters. Not all countries operate this way. But the U.S. rules that are in place are that it doesn't matter if you're widely viewed and recognized as the best in the world or the best in your country at the 100 meters. If you don't qualify at the Olympic trials in this country, you will not run the 100 meters in the Olympics. So once she tested positive and her time was wiped out, she doesn't have a time to present, which means, according to the rules, she can't qualify for the 100 meters in these Olympics. Those are the rules. There is seemingly no way around them. And it should be noted, even Sha'Carri Richardson seems to understand this. She said as much this morning on the Today Show. She knowingly and willingly did something she knew she was not supposed to do, and something she knew could cost her dearly. It's a little bit like the NC State situation last week at the College World Series. Like I said, as it was happening and after it happened, NC State was removed from the College World Series. You can argue about the protocols all you want, and you can insist that the rules that were in place were dumb and misguided. Like, if you are somebody who has made the argument about what happened at the College World Series last weekend, that it is wildly difficult to understand how any medical official could be fine with 20,000 people filling up a stadium in Omaha, no mask, no proof of vaccination, just if you want to be at the College World Series, you're free to be at the College World Series, shoulder to shoulder with somebody you know, somebody you don't know, with vaccinated people, unvaccinated people, coughers, non-coughers, it doesn't matter. We don't care what's happening in the stands. But we are going to contact trace and isolate baseball players who are on the field. If you're somebody who made the point, that doesn't make sense to me. I hear you. I understand. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. But the point I made then, and after it was over, is that NC State knew the rules, whether they agreed with them or not, in advance of traveling to Omaha. NC State, just like every other college baseball team in this country, knew that if they advanced to the College World Series and they traveled with unvaccinated players, that there was a risk that a positive case and contact tracing could wipe you out of the event. That if you traveled to the College World Series with nothing but vaccinated players, you wouldn't even be tested. But if you travel with unvaccinated players, you would be tested. And if some of them test positive, then everybody who's unvaccinated is probably going to get contact traced into isolation. And if you get too many positive tests, then they're going to test the vaccinated players. And if some of them pop, you might not have enough players to play. Regardless of how you think those rules should be written, the rules were written pretty clearly. Regardless of what you think of those protocols, everybody knew them in advance. And yet, NC State still took unvaccinated players to the College World Series, and it backfired on them in a spectacular way. People have been arguing about it ever since. I understand the argument, but you knew what the stupid rules were before you ever went. Should have been a little smarter about it. I don't care if you think they should be lowering a speed limit on some road in Germantown to 25 miles per hour. If you think it's a stupid speed limit to set, unnecessary. You might be right. But if you get caught going 42, that ain't going to get you out of a ticket. You knew what the speed limit was. You're driving 42. You get what you get. And the same seems to be true with Sha'Carri Richardson. She knew that she couldn't smoke marijuana in advance of the Olympic trials because she would be tested and it might show up. And if it shows up, she would be suspended and unable to run in the Tokyo Olympics, at least in that competition. She understood all that, and she did it anyway. This is unfortunately the price that she has to pay. She made a mistake this morning on national television. She owned that mistake, and now she's paying that price. When you break rules or laws, there are consequences, even if the rules or laws are nonsensical. Anybody arguing otherwise is just wasting their time. But all that said, can't we all agree this rule is ridiculous?
Yeah.
Why should marijuana be on a banned substance list as it pertains to whether you can or cannot run in the Olympics? If anything, it's a performance decreasing drug for
right.
a sprinter.
Yeah, no kidding.
What's amazing is that she ran the time she ran at the Olympic trials with weed in her system. Weed does not make you run faster. It makes you move slower, or in some cases, makes you not move at all.
True.
You just sit there and just sit there and just sit there. And so the idea that common sense hasn't prevailed by now, not to undo what's been done to Sha'Carri Richardson, but to get this off of the books as a banned substance, is really, really difficult to understand. You couldn't find any serious person trying to make a serious argument that marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug, or that marijuana gives anybody, literally anybody, any advantage when it comes to competing, let's just keep it within these lines, in track and field. A sprinter. There is no scenario where you could argue reasonably or sensibly that a sprinter is gaining an advantage by smoking weed or using an edible or hitting a vape pen. It's utterly ridiculous. And yet, one of our great young sprinters, she's only 21 years old, somebody who had real gold medal aspirations, isn't going to be allowed to do the thing that she's so gifted at doing, that she's been training to do, because after her biological mother died, in an attempt to ease that anxiety, she used the same drug that so many millions of Americans use every single day, and in 18 of our 50 states use it completely legally. So nothing that happens from this point forward is going to save Sha'Carri Richardson. She is not going to run the 100 meters at the Tokyo Olympics. That will be the big story connected to the Tokyo Olympics. Not who's running, not who wins, but who didn't run and who didn't win. But hopefully, and this happens all the time in this country, hopefully her set of circumstances and the outrage that has accompanied this announcement will lead to change. There's no way we're ever going to be able to unsuspend Sha'Carri Richardson and get her in the 100 meters at the Tokyo Olympics. But perhaps this story, being the biggest story in this country today as it pertains to sport, perhaps it'll be the thing that changes it so that in the next Olympics, or the one after that, or the one after that, we'll never have to watch a gifted, promising, immensely talented athlete be held out of competition for such nonsensical reasons. We come back. Moussa Cisse announced within the past hour that he is withdrawing from the NBA draft. Smart move. We'll discuss it. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike. Looking for a bright light. Seagull, what your life like? Riding on a white bike, feeling like a sight fight.
Clock for this Sunday. You got to get fireworks in advance of Sunday. I mean, I guess you can get them on Sunday. My point is, you're going to need them by the time it gets dark on Sunday night. If you're trying to figure out where to get them, Boom City Fireworks is your place. It's got two locations in the Memphis area. One is at 3rd Street South. The other is at Getwell and State Line Road. And you want to hit one of them to take advantage of what is the Mid-South's largest fireworks selection. Both locations are open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. So you can go early or you can go late. And both locations are super convenient and easy to get to. And you don't have to deal with any bridges that go over the river. Probably heard our bridge is broken, so traffic is often rough. So if you're somebody who has for years gone to Arkansas to get your fireworks, maybe you can get back to that next year if you want to. But I wouldn't advise it right now because it can be difficult to get to Arkansas. Let me tell you where it's not difficult to get to. 3rd Street South or Getwell and State Line Road. You're shopping indoors at each place, air conditioned, so you're not going to be out in the hot sun or the rain. It's Boom City Fireworks. Go check the Facebook page to keep up to date on the daily specials. I go to Facebook.com and just type in Boom City Fireworks. An announcement earlier today from Musa Cisse, the super athletic, not quite as skilled, big, who left Lausanne Collegiate School to reclassify and enroll early at the University of Memphis. Played with the Tigers last season. Had some good moments and some not as good moments. Ended up primarily starting, but averaging just 18.6 minutes per game, 6.6 points, 6.3 rebounds, and 1.6 blocks per contest. He entered the NBA draft, but kept open the option to return to school and announced earlier today that he will, in fact, withdraw from the NBA draft and play another season of college basketball. Obviously, if he wanted to come back to Memphis, I'm assuming that Memphis would take him back. Everything that I'm about to say does not mean that I don't think he could be a valuable college basketball player at Memphis or somewhere else. So I'll just put it this way. If I were running the Memphis program and he wanted to come back, I would take him back. But there doesn't seem to be any obvious indication that he plans to withdraw from the draft and re-enroll at Memphis. It appears that he's going to withdraw from the draft and find a new place to play college basketball. He is in the transfer portal. And so a few weeks ago, we were asked, there's this weekly deal that we do at CBS Sports. It's called the Dribble Handoff because somebody named it the Dribble Handoff. And it's basically posing a question and then I answer it. Matt Norlander answers it. Kyle Boone answers it. David Cobb answers it. Boom, you've got content. So a few weeks ago, the question was, which player would you advise to withdraw from the NBA draft who is currently still in the NBA draft? And I wrote a few hundred words on Musa Cisse. And I'm real careful about the way I wrote it and the point that I made because I recognize how that might come off. Oh, of course, the guy who went to Memphis and lives in the Memphis area and hosts a radio show in Memphis is saying that Musa Cisse, the Memphis player, needs to withdraw from the NBA draft. Ah, that makes sense. I made it crystal clear. I think he needs to withdraw from the NBA draft. I don't care where he goes to school. If he goes to school at Memphis, good. If he goes to school at LSU, it's fine with me. If he goes to school at Georgetown, congratulations. I don't care where he goes to school. I just have, from the moment he announced he was entering the NBA draft, thought it would be smart of him to withdraw from the NBA draft and go to school. Because, A, he was not going to get picked in the 2021 NBA draft. I mean, I suppose it's possible that somebody could have took a flyer on him in the 50s, but I would have been surprised. And I haven't seen a single mock draft from a reputable source that would have Musa Cisse being picked in the first 30 or the second 30 in the top 60 of the 2021 NBA draft. So he wasn't going to get picked. But sometimes that's fine. You're not going to get picked. But there'll still be a good opportunity for you. Take Dwayne Washington Jr., for instance. Unless you're a college basketball fan, you probably don't know who that is. But he was the leading scorer at Ohio State last season. Shot about 38% from three. He has apparently had some encouraging workouts. And there's some thought that even if he doesn't get picked in this month's draft, that he'll at the worst, sign a two-way contract with an NBA franchise. So he has decided he's going to remain in the NBA draft. If he gets picked, great. But if he doesn't, best I can tell, what he's been told is that we'll have a two-way opportunity for you. And what that means, of course, is that you'll make a paycheck. You'll make real money. And you'll bounce back and forth between our G League franchise and our NBA franchise. You will be a professional basketball player in this country making real money next year. So he said, you know what? That's what I would rather do than do another year of college at Ohio State. For Musa Cisse, I don't think the options are that clear. I think like Dwayne Washington Jr., he could enter the draft, stay in it, and maybe go undrafted. But I don't think he ends up on a two-way. And I suppose he could end up in the G League, but this is another point that I've made consistently about that. If he struggled to stay on the court in the American Athletic Conference, what's it going to be like when he's in the G League?
Right.
Playing against grown men, some of whom are former All-Americans. Listen to some of these players who were in the G League this season. Jordan Wara, who was an All-American at Louisville. Kevin Porter Jr., who has spent real time in the NBA. Paul Reed, Jordan Poole, Quindary Weatherspoon, Jared Harper, who was an All-American level player at Auburn, led him to a Final Four. Malachi Flynn's a former lottery pick. Tyler Cook was awesome in college, or at least productive in college. You remember what Jeremiah Martin did at the University of Memphis? He plays in that league. Mm-hmm. 25 games this season. Moses Brown, Amir Coffey, Kobe Simmons, Nick Stauskas, Sheldon Mack, Sean McDermott, Miles Powell, Jordan Bell, Kenyon Martin Jr., Robert Woodard. You get in that league, you can get eat up pretty good. Vernon Carey was an All-American at Duke. Played 20 games in the G League this season. So if you're Musa Cisse and you couldn't stay on the court at Memphis in the American Athletic Conference, you want to go jump into a league with Vernon Carey? No. If you think he looked overwhelmed in college in times, played off the court, unskilled, couldn't catch it, couldn't score it, had trouble guarding in space. If you thought all those things were obvious in the American Athletic Conference, trust me, they'd be way more obvious in the G League. If you struggle to stay on the court against East Carolina and South Florida, good luck trying to play in the league that's got Vernon Carey and Kenyon Martin Jr.
I got a question. Like, I know that a lot of people assume he's probably not coming back to Memphis. At least that's what's out there right now. Why not? Just out of curiosity. I mean, do you think that would happen?
I don't. My understanding, I haven't talked to Musa Cisse one time.
Right.
I don't want to suggest otherwise. But my understanding is that he just simply wasn't happy with the role that he had on that basketball team.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't playing late in games, right?
Wasn't playing late in games. And by the way, reasonably so. You can't make free throws.
Right.
And you can't guard in space. Why would I have you on the court at the end of games? He shot 32% from the three-point line. I mean, from the free throw line. So whether it's in the NBA or college these days, often teams go small late in late game situations. And you try to get people who can really hurt you if they get sent to the free throw line. You try to get them off the court. Well, here's a guy who can't score unless he offensive rebounds, stick backs, or catch a lob. That's all. You can't throw him the ball. I mean, if you throw him the ball, and I say this as nicely as I can say it, he has only been playing organized basketball for a handful of years.
Yeah.
You know, some of this is unsurprising. But, like, you can't throw him the ball and reasonably assume that he'll catch it. And even if he does catch it, what's he going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And if they foul him, he's going to the free throw line, and he misses 7 out of 10. So I can understand being upset if you're a starter who doesn't finish games. I guess if I were a starter and then didn't finish games, I'd be upset too. But there's no great argument in favor of him finishing those games for all of the reasons I just laid out. So here's the problem for Memphis if you actually want him back. He has no track record with these other coaches in these other schools. They can tell him whatever they want to tell him. Oh, yeah, you'll start for us. You'll finish games. We're going to play you 30 minutes a game. You know, we're going to run stuff for you. Say whatever they want. And he'll listen. At Memphis, you can't quite say the same thing because he's got a body of work there. He knows what that looks like. And so I don't want to oversimplify it. I'm sure it is more complicated than just the way he was used at Memphis. His entire situation has been, what's the best way to put it? Interesting and complicated the entire time. He's a young man from Africa who moved to New York and then transferred to Lausanne.
Right.
On some level, none of this has ever made much sense. So, listen, I'm not ruling out anything. I don't speak in absolutes about recruiting and transfers and everything else. He could end up back in Memphis, I guess. But it doesn't appear that that's what he desires. And so he'll probably play college basketball somewhere other than Memphis. And I don't know that it's smart to leave Memphis. So when I say what he's doing is smart, I don't mean the leaving Memphis aspect of it. I just think he's smart to play college basketball some more. He is still so naturally gifted in terms of his athleticism and his size that he can still be a productive and useful college basketball player, and this is quite clearly the place for him to develop. If he's ever going to develop somebody who can actually play in the NBA, he needs to develop against amateurs. Because if you throw him into a league against grown men professionals, even the G League, he'll just get eat up. He'll never get on the court. And when he's on the if he were in the G League next season, he would have a hard time getting on the court. And when he was on the court, he'd get eaten up by older, more skilled, more experienced players. So if you weren't happy with the 18 minutes you were getting per game at Memphis, you wouldn't be happy with the 7 you'd be getting in the G League. So this is a smart decision to withdraw from the draft to eliminate the possibility of being a professional next season. And now hopefully he will find a place at the collegiate level where he can continue to develop and just physically overwhelm some, not all, but some opposing college centers. Because he still is capable of physically overwhelming some opposing college centers. Not all, but some. And if you're trying to develop gain confidence, and keep confidence, that's the place to do it. Not in a league with professionals, former first-team All-Americans. You'll get eat up in that league. Forget the NBA. You can't sniff that right now. But you don't want any part of the G League either. So, again, wise decision by Moussa Cisse and the people around him as it pertains to this very specific thing, withdrawing from the NBA draft and deciding to remain an amateur basketball player for at least one more year. We come back, turn our attention to Major League Baseball. It was a nice night last night for DeSoto Central High graduate Austin Riley. First inning, opposite field home run off of Jacob DeGrom to give Atlanta what was at the time a 3-1 lead. Mets ultimately tied it up 3-3 in the top of the ninth, but then loaded the bases, the Braves did, in the bottom. Freddie Freeman single off of Seth Lugo's leg. Braves win it 4-3. Austin Riley was the star, and Jacob DeGrom actually tipped his hat to Austin Riley after the game. Neat moment. I'll tell you about it next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the card dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the card dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a Bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and wrong. This is Bonaparte, and he paid with Tucson. And they went on a world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte. Michael remained murderous, but still virtuous. Wait to kill the petty, you found out the church services. Not a holy man, but a moral and my perversion. So I support the sex workers unionizing their services.
Jeff Calkins, award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. He's going to join me, like he always does, little after 5 o'clock. But right now I got 4 baseball stories I'd like to discuss.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number 1.
Final score last night in Truist Park, Braves 4, Mets 3. Fun baseball game. And the star was DeSoto Central High a graduate Austin Riley. Had a 2-run home run off Jacob DeGrom, 2-time Cy Young Award winner and widely recognized greatest pitcher in the world right now. 2-run opposite field homer in the first inning. That gave Atlanta a 3-1 lead. After that, Dominic Smith homered twice, including in the top of the ninth. So the Mets had it 3-3 going into the bottom of the ninth, and then they loaded the stupid bases up. Freddie Freeman hit a ball off of Seth Lugo's leg. It caromed toward third base. Luis Guillerme tried to make a throw to first. It was late. Might have, could have just grabbed the ball and run it to third and beat Ronald Acuna to the bag because he wasn't running hard, because that's one of the things he often does not do. I saw somebody on Twitter say if Guillerme would have just assumed that the problem was Guillerme assumed Acuna was running hard. I'm like, well, you should never assume he's running hard. The guy doesn't. I love him. I love watching him. He's awesome, yeah. But he doesn't. Oh, you know, he'll hit a ball off the wall and it'll be a single because he wasn't running hard. He was walking it and bat flipping. So either way, 4-3, Braves win. Whatever. But I thought it was neat after the game. If you watched it, you saw that when DeGrom came into the dugout after the first, he walked past his catcher, James McCann, and seemed and yelled. It was obvious his back was to the camera, but it was obvious he was yelling something at McCann, and then he threw something in the dugout. Like, it was a pretty, it was a scene that like was all over Twitter, and it was like, oh man, DeGrom must be pissed at McCann for calling some pitch or something, because it looked like he was yelling at McCann. And after the game, DeGrom said, no, I was just pissed. Not at my catcher. I was asking my catcher, how did he hit that ball? Because it was 100 miles per hour on the black. You're not supposed to hit that ball from Jacob DeGrom. Nobody does. That's how he's got a sub-1 ERA through 14 starts. And yet Austin Riley reached out there and got it and just big boyed it over the right field wall. Like, there aren't five guys in the big leagues who could get that pitch over an opposite field wall. But Austin Riley, and you can see it when he's in the box too, he's a big boy.
Yeah.
He's 6'3", 240. I mean, he's big. And so DeGrom actually explained what I just told you after the game. Here's what it sounded like from the two-time Cy Young Award winner.
You know, that's a tough one. You know, I gotta tip my hat to Riley over there. You know, I was really frustrated. I said to James, how did he hit that? You know, felt like I made my pitch and you know, he was able to get a bat to it and hit it over the fence. So that's one I just got to tip my hat to him.
So that's kind of cool. Austin Riley, local product, greatest pitcher in the world, saying, hey, you know, that's not one where I missed and he made me pay for it. I put that pitch right where I wanted it, 100 on the black, and he put a bat on it and got it over the fence. So DeGrom gave up 3 runs in the first. That's wildly unusual for him, but he still settled in right after that. Oh, there was another part in his postgame where he said, you know, they got 3 in the first, and I told James, his catcher, he said, okay, well, that's all they're getting, and that's all they got off of DeGrom. He ended up going 7 innings, striking out 14. At one point, he retired 15 straight hitters. At one point, he struck out 8 straight Atlanta Braves. So he exits that game with now a 0.95 ERA. So even with giving up 3 runs in 7, all of them coming in the first last night, his ERA is still 0.95. He has a sub-1 ERA. He's now just the 4th pitcher in Major League Baseball history to have a sub-1 ERA through 14 starts, and is still very much on track to become just the 11th pitcher in big league history to win 3 Cy Young Awards. But last night, Austin Riley got the better of him. Congrats to him.
Story number 2.
MLB All-Star starters were announced last night. It's a fan voting that gets it done, so it often becomes a popularity contest. But either way, I think they got the starters mostly right. By the way, this is kind of neat. The leading vote getters in each league were Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the American League, son of a former Major League star, and Fernando Tatis Jr., son of a former Major League star, guy was the leading vote getter in the National League. And so those guys are the faces of this and probably will be for a long time. If you're trying to figure out who got snubbed, it's probably the most obvious, at least in my mind, is Max Muncy from the Dodgers.
Yes.
He should be starting at first base. But Freddie Freeman, and I'm not just saying this because he hit one off Seth Lugo's leg last night to win the game for Atlanta, but Freddie Freeman got more votes, so he will start at first base. But if you're trying to determine who has actually been the best first baseman in the National League this season to this moment, it is not Freddie Freeman. It is Max Muncy. He leads all NL first basemen in OPS, slugging, and war. He's hitting better than Freeman. He's got more homers than Freeman. His slugging percentage is nearly 100 points higher than Freddie Freeman's. Max Muncy's leading the National League in walks. And this is a guy who was released by Oakland just 4 years ago. I mean, he was released just, hey, okay, we don't think you belong here anymore. And since then has become an All-Star in 2019, and he will be an All-Star again this season. He's just going to have to do it as a reserve instead of as a starter, because though the fans, again, got most of it right, or at least good portion of it right, they missed on who should be starting at first base for the National League All-Stars.
Story number 3.
So the final numbers were tallied last night, and Associated Press filed a story on them. The Major League batting average jumped 7 points in the month of June after a crackdown by the commissioner's office on foreign substances. And now the season average is up to 239. That's still awful, but it is up. And there is an undeniable difference between what pitchers are able to do from a get-people-out perspective. There's a big, obvious, undeniable difference between what it looked like before this crackdown started and what it has looked like since this crackdown started. All you need to know is this. They started checking people in the middle of games for sticky substances, threatening them with suspensions, and immediately spin rate went down and batting average went up. So it's clear the pitchers were cheating.
Yeah.
and you know, not every pitcher, but a pitcher on every team, I'm certain. And so Major League Baseball decided we got to do something about this, and immediately spin rates go down drastically and batting averages go up noticeably. And so you can argue that there was a better way to go about this as opposed to asking Max Scherzer to unbutton his pants on national television in the middle of a field. Like, I don't know that Major League Baseball went about this the right way. I'm willing to listen to that. But if the goal was to give the hitters a little bit more of a reasonable chance to actually be competitive once they stepped in the box, well, then what Major League Baseball has obviously worked. Perhaps not as much as Major League Baseball would like. The pitchers are still amazing, and velocity has not changed at all. But we're getting more hits than we were getting before the crackdown. Spin rates are down relative to where they were before the crackdown, and that's probably, definitely good stuff for the sport in general, because you need more action in these baseball games because there aren't enough people like me who are going to watch them regardless.
Story number four.
Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer, facing allegations of sexual assault, was placed on a 7-day administrative leave by Major League Baseball earlier today, a decision that will prevent him from making his scheduled start on Sunday. How much, if at all, have you followed this story?
Not a ton. Tell me what's going on here.
Okay, well, Trevor Bauer is the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing for the reigning World Series champions in a major market like Los Angeles, and he's making more money pitching this season than literally anybody has ever made to pitch in any season. You know, I know baseball stars don't resonate the same way basketball stars resonate, but when it comes to baseball stars, like most famous baseball players, Trevor Bauer is pretty high on that list. And it's wild because I was co-hosting Time to Shine earlier. It comes on in 5 minutes, but we taped it, you know, from 2:30 to 3:30. And this is obviously one of the biggest stories in sports, and we didn't even touch it because it's not an easy thing to talk about on television and honestly on radio. And so I didn't even make the argument that we should discuss it and put it in the A block because, you know, producers playing the shows. And from my experiences, just say everything looks good and then do what they ask you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't argue with my producers when it comes to this type of stuff for television, but it is a big story and it's a complicated story. Sometimes these are easy to sort through, and this one is on the other end of the spectrum. So as the story goes, Trevor Bauer meets a 27-year-old woman online, however that happens, and they end up meeting and having consensual sex. Everybody acknowledges totally consensual. But in advance of meeting, they were texting a lot. And the conversation went a certain direction, and they sort of got a sense for what the other person might be into and might be willing and comfortable to do. Long story not so long, and while recognizing we have young people listening, so I'm trying to talk about this as delicately as I can, they had a rough encounter. But by all accounts, consensual, because there are text messages that have been published between the two that make it clear what happened and that everybody was okay with it. You know, talking about getting choked out, unconscious, and liking that and wanting it again. And so what these text messages portray are two consenting adults spending time together in ways that perhaps everybody wouldn't be comfortable with, but these two people appeared to be comfortable with it. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is that this woman claims that after she was unconscious, choked out, that she was assaulted in ways she never consented to. I'll just keep it vague. And that she did not agree to the things that happened to her after she was actually unconscious, that she was taken advantage of. And that's actually the wrong way to put it, that she was assaulted after she was unconscious. In other words, yes, I agreed to let him choke me out, but I didn't agree to what he did after I was unconscious. And yes, I agreed to physical, rough intercourse, but look at me. Because when she went to police and they took pictures, she's got black eyes, busted lip, abrasions all over her face. She looks like she was in a street fight as opposed to a relationship. Now, Trevor Bauer's argument is, yo, if you want to kink shame me, you can kink shame me. But I just showed you the text messages. This woman was down for what we were doing and actually told me she enjoyed it. I got the text messages to prove that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.